morning. I'm Donna Quinn. Welcome to Talk of Our Towns. For the next half hour, you will be listening to me and to my guest. My guests today are Chuck and Sarah Meyer. They came to Astoria 40 years ago, and then 33 years ago, they opened The Complete Photographer, which became an iconic store in downtown Astoria. They are probably familiar to many of you, and if you don't know them, today you will learn a little bit about these wonderful people who do so much for our community, continue to do so much. They said they were going to retire a couple of years ago. They closed Complete Photographer. That's, of course, completely false. They did not retire. They are still engaged and involved in many things in the community, and we're going to hear about some of that today. Sarah has Sarah's old photos, and Chuck is now a master gardener and a mentor to other photographers. And so I'm excited to hear about all the different things they're doing and their perspective on Astoria then and Astoria now, which is going to be a big theme we're all going to be thinking about for the bicentennial in 2011. So thank you for being here today, Sarah.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Chuck, it's good morning. To see you today. All right. Excellent. Before we talk a little bit about what's keeping you busy these days and your perspective on Astoria then, Astoria now, and the things that are keeping you passionate and engaged in the community, let's just talk a teeny bit about what brought you to Astoria in the first place 40 years ago.
Well, I interviewed in December of 71 with the Job Corps program, and I was hired at that point to come out to work. There was not a job at that time, but I had I was wanted.
And where were you living?
Chuck was in the Army. He had been drafted a couple of months before he was too old, and it was, he got the notice, and he was drafted, and he spent his draft time in the States, and we got out in April of 71, and we got in a car, and we headed west, and we took 3 months to decompress from the Army, and ended up in Astoria, and went to work in August, and I ran the orientation program, and it was a great experience. It's a wonderful program. And continues to be.
A lot of people don't realize Tongue Point has been here for such a long time and what they do contribute to our community.
That's true. I think our Job Corps opened in 64, maybe 65, was the second one that opened. They just celebrated 45 years, and it was all women when I came. It had been all men, switched to all women, and I ran the orientation program.
What made you decide, though, to stop in Astoria? You got in the car, you were back east, you were in the Midwest, you were somewhere other than in the West, because you headed the car west.
My family was here.
Okay.
Family was down in Riddle and Roseburg at that time.
Okay.
And I'd U of O graduate and got connected with Job Corps when I was at the university. They used to do exchanges because U of O ran the program.
A job can bring a person a place to a particular place to live, but also there has to be something more usually. I mean, a person has to feel something about a community. When you and Chuck came to Astoria, other than working for Tongue Point here on the Job Corps, what was it about Astoria that made you decide to put down your roots here?
Well, I just asked my husband if he would just give me a year back in Oregon, having been on the East Coast for several years. I just wanted to come back home, and I kind of knew that once you're here, your roots just go quick. And he's now a master gardener with really deep roots here. But
okay.
But I just wanted him for a year because I knew that Oregon is a great place and Astoria is the best.
Why is that? Chuck, is that true? What happened when you came here 40 years
ago? I got sandbagged. She told me we'd move back to Manhattan after the year was up, and that was 40 years ago. But it took about a year to get used to living in Astoria, to be honest, after having lived in major cities all my life up until that time. And after about a year, I kind of looked around, shook my head, and said, this is kind of interesting. And we haven't moved. We've actually moved 3 times since we've been here, but different houses in the same city. Kept the same phone number. There's just something about Astoria. I'm sure there's lots of places that are just as fun and friendly to live in, but from a 40-year look back, we raised 4 boys, and I couldn't think of a better place for them to grow up. I mean, they could walk to school. We could. It was just a great place to raise a family, and fortunately, we were able to make a living doing it. And you know, always now that boys are gone and the work is gone, we still find plenty of things to do to keep us here. It's just I hear people say from time to time, "said gee, there's just nothing to do around here." And I'm going, "Folks, you haven't looked." So
there's a lot of many volunteers in all the arts, all the rich things that go on in this community. They happen because of volunteers, and I know that you all continue to volunteer. When you mentioned, Sarah, earlier that when you came here, the canneries were still operating 40 years ago. It was a different feeling. And when did you start collecting old photographs, and when did you decide to open Complete Photographer? How did that all come about?
Well, we came here in 71. Our first child was born in 73. And I kind of got this nesting feeling. I don't know if a lot of women do that. When you have a child on the way, you want to possess a nest. You want to live in it. And so we found a house. It took a lot of remodeling. We found a lot of people. The interest was there. The old houses, our first house was 1893. And when you have something that has been part of a community for so long, you just feel like you need to know more about it. And luckily, we ran into people that were also interested in that. And that started a long time ago, that just this how we were and how we are and what might happen in the future has been an interest for us for a long, long time. Anyway, we opened the store because Chuck wanted to be able to have the supplies and the service and the knowledge that he possessed, and he wanted to be able to share that with other people. And so in 77, we got enough money together and borrowed money. We put the house that we had built up, put it on the line, and I was totally panicked. And I said, "I'm not a salesperson. I'm not a retailer. I'm a people person. I like to help people." And he said, "Well, that's what you do when you sell." And I said, anyway, we opened. We had fun. We made a great service for people, and we had a frame shop. And probably within 2 years of opening up, the history became much more important, and the collection started.
And you are working on a collection of then and now photographs. You have photographs that other people don't even know about or have.
We've bought some collections. People have brought in glass negatives from way back when. We've got some 8x10
sheet film negatives.
I mean, they're beautiful. And you can't really print very many of those anymore, so Chuck has a way of doing it, and so then we can transfer all those old pictures to the new current digital mode so that they can then be transferred on to the next generation. But anyway, we collected them. We were given lots of images. Customers would come in and say, "This needs to be part of your collection." And we just put them in albums and ID them, and then other people come in and say, "Oh, wow, I want that on my wall. I want
to share
that."
So that's what Sarah's Old Photos. Sarah's Old Photos is your collection of photographs, which you then make copies for other people who wish to preserve and have some of Astoria's old history.
Yes. Very recently, a lady out of Hillsborough came in who is working on a fabric history display and wants to make quilts and doll clothes historically. And she came and got, I think it was over 40 images to add to her selection that she wants to be able to share with people. And she was thrilled.
And Chuck, now that Sarah is busy with the old photographs, what is keeping you engaged in this community?
I'm a board member of the Astor Street Opry Company. And after being on the board for a year and a half or so, I get tired of hearing people keep saying how we really need to raise some money and nobody was doing anything. So I said, "Okay, I'll lead a fundraising committee to help us get the mortgage to buy the new building where we are at 129 West Bond Street." We're pretty close to it, and the end of March we're going to have a fundraising kickoff party to see if we can't finish getting the $84,000 we need to buy into this $375,000 mortgage. So that's been taking up most of my time for the last couple of months, and I'm also the building manager, so if something breaks, they remember me. And It's just a really great organization. It's 26 year now. This summer will be our 26th season. And a lot of people think the opera company is just a Shanghai, which is not a bad idea, but it's not true. 12 months out of the year, we have children's productions. We have one-act plays. We have theater workshops. We teach classes on how to do theater and lighting, sound. And so 12 months out of the year, there's something going on at the Playhouse if you stop by. If you see the lights on outside, you can walk in and see what's going on.
Well, Shanghai is certainly the most famous production, obviously, of the Astor Street Opry Company. And people are really proud of it. And I know that folks who are involved with the Bicentennial are saying, we need to send Shanghai on the road. Shanghai needs to go to Portland and Seattle and people, because you learn about the history of Astoria in a very funny way.
Well, the last time they really went on the road, they went to the Travel Agents Convention, and it's so impressive that they had moved their convention to Astoria just because, and Shanghai was, Bruce Conner hauled them up there and put them up there, and they Astoria won the meeting for the statewide travel agents. And problem with it is almost all of our people are volunteers. And when you start talking about road shows, they've got families, they've got jobs. They don't do this for a living. Nobody works for a theater company for a living, not our company. So getting them on a road is kind of difficult because weekends is really the only time you could probably do anything. But we're open to suggestions, though. Believe me, we're very suggestible.
Well, good, because they certainly are a draw and an attraction in our region, that's for sure. I want us to talk a little bit about what Astoria was like in the old days, what is happening now, and what your perspective is on the downtown. Chuck, when you saw that Lightbox opened, which I'm not sure, Lightbox opened, what, about a year and a half ago, maybe?
Yes.
Is that right? So Complete Photography closed, and that was very sad for many people in the community, although you are still here and available, and people have questions.
We do get phone calls.
Yes, I bet you do. Like, well, I don't know. This is a very hard part to find. So Lightbox opened, and I know you've been working with them, and you're mentoring a photographer, Jeremy Johnson, Photography Veritas. You're in the community working with young people, and I believe the people at Lightbox, I've met them, are these interesting young folks who want to do something different in this community. How do you feel about what they're doing in this town right now and how it compares to what you were doing?
Well, we're both in imaging. Our whole business was about imaging, whether taking it, printing it, framing it. They're in imaging is their main business. We did a lot of hardware sales and retail sales, which is not their aim. They are gallery and they handle digital imaging. If you have something you need printed, something you need transferred, something you need fixed, they do restoration work. They do custom, high quality, high end custom color printing and black and white, beautiful black and white, as a matter of fact. And they have a couple dark rooms that are available in the back for customers. And they have a color paper line and a film processor. So there is still, you can go in and have your own color prints made if you want to. They're not really set up to take your roll of 36 exposures. They're more into the custom printing of larger prints. But they're just really nice folks. They got a beautiful home looking on a dead end overlooking the river. I'm kind of jealous a little bit. But two very nice young people who's taking another bet on Astoria as a place to live and have a business.
And seeing young people invest in this community is really vital and very, very important.
There's a number of them. You got the Caruana Group with their buildings downtown.
That's
You've
true.
Got Mitchum with all the work he's done in his buildings. And Astoria is looking. I've seen more money invested in Astoria in probably the last 8 years than I did in the 30 years before that. I mean, for 30 years, downtown sat and business would come and go, but the buildings looked the same. I'm sure there were some exceptions there somewhere, but on the whole, but just in the last maybe 8 to 10 years, people have spending money on buildings. And again, Mitch Mitchum's have been up there, and then the Caruana Group, and there's all kinds of other people whose names I just don't know. Bill Lind has done a wonderful job. He's probably one of the first ones to start, just come to think of it, Sarah reminded me, but look on Marine Drive, look on Commercial Street, and you will see buildings that are just looking, and they're mostly taking back the way they were when they were built, taking off all the fake facades and everything that's been slapped on them over the years. And I'm impressed.
And do you feel like there's a particular timing? Why is this all happening right at this particular moment, where for many years it was just slumbering, so to speak?
I don't clue. Maybe Sarah does.
If I were to look at some people that said this is a good place, it hasn't been trashed by the big, simple boxes. It hasn't been, doesn't look like everybody else. It's unique. And you take advantage of something that hasn't changed and make it like it was, because that's what then people find interesting.
The character, the original character of the place has not been destroyed.
No, when we burned in 22, and within 3 years, that whole commercial, Marine Drive, and Duane went back up in virtually a 3-year timeline. That's a lot of people saying, we will rebuild, we will be good, and we rebuilt to a population that we did not return to. I mean, we had over 20,000 people here, and then the Hammond out at Alderbrook, that big mill burned in August, and then in December the town burned, and a lot of people just didn't have jobs anymore, so they left. But they rebuilt the town to serve a population of about 18 to 20,000.
I think Astoria has what my great-grandmother used to say, no givety-uppity. I mean, Astoria perseveres. Before we talk a little bit about why our downtown is important and why it is singular in many ways, Chuck, how do you feel about all of the changes that are happening with photos, with media, with video? I met a terrific young man, Shane Bugby, and Amy Bugby, who are videographers here, and they had a camera with them that was as small as my BlackBerry, a video camera. And I said, oh my God, things are changing so much. Are you staying up with photography and with all of the changes now that are going on, or are you just saying, okay, that's...
I watch it, and my one comment about the current equipment is the same I thought when videotape came out and replaced movie film. In my darkroom, I have glass plate negatives go back to 1880s, maybe a little earlier, and I can print those and make a print from that that'll look just like it was shot yesterday, because the negative is there. When electronic media came out, most of your images are nothing more than magnetic disturbance on some media base, and it's so easy to lose a digital image. And people say, oh, I got backups. And well, that's true, but where is that image going to be in 50 years or 100 years? I get real nervous about digital image storage because of the transitory nature of the media. I mean, the number one car accessory sold in 1964 was an 8-track player. Try to play an 8-track tape today. Or does your computer have a floppy drive on it anymore? Uh-uh. What are you doing? We just threw out a box of floppy disks that we had all sorts of important stuff on in our home office, and thought, well, we didn't have anything to read them on anymore. So I'm just leery of where the digital storage is. And one other thing, and then I'll shut up. In the pre-digital days, when you shot a roll of film, you got the prints. They wanted an album, they wanted a trunk, they wanted a box, but you had a hard print, and people would make prints and put them on the wall. And the printing from digital images is somewhere around 3 to 5% of the image shot are actually printed. And a lot of people don't have pictures of their families on the walls anymore because they're in their hard drives or in their BlackBerries or in their someplace, but they don't have the pictures on the wall anymore. And it's kind of taking a little bit away from family images.
I think you Enough mentioned said. This once before. Sarah, you too,
yeah,
yes.
The other, that virtual photo album that's on your computer, if you don't have somebody sitting right there at your computer to go through it, how does grandma go and show grandson or granddaughter that this was my parents, this was something, if you don't share that family, you lose that family.
That's really wise counsel. And I think you're absolutely right. I know that both of you feel like it's very important. Preserve your images. Keep those images. Hold on to those images. And make sure you have them in a form where they can be duplicated. Because I agree with you. I look at little My nephews, my niece will send me some things, but I don't print them out. I don't have anything of them that's tangible for me. You're absolutely right. It's just, it's a fleeting image. Fixed things are important though. They ground us, they anchor us. It's important to have photographs.
I agree.
Okay. So we know that Chuck is still involved now with the Astor Street Opry Company. We know that he's rooted in gardening and looking at all of the various opportunities and changes that are going on in the world of media and film. What's keeping you busy besides your old photographs, Sarah?
I've been with AAUW for 20 some years now, and we have taken on a project we call the 100 Women Project for the Bicentennial, and we are looking at 100 women that have made a contribution over the last 100 years to making Astoria its unique and wonderful place. And then we have collected about 150 names so far, and there's about 10 of us that are doing this. And so we're going to take those names and winnow them down, get some research, a little bit more paragraph about them, and then try to come up with those 100 names that we can share with and keep with Astoria. And some of those, we just have the names, and it's really sometimes difficult to know that that name was important maybe 75 years ago, but finding out why is interesting. So we need to have a place where women can still be kept.
People's stories are they're what we need.
And I'm active with the Wings program also with AAUW. Chuck and I still stock food bank, which gives us satisfaction. And if you have any extra food, anyone, the food bank is in need. It's increased numbers incredibly that the need to serve has happened this year. And I also have been part of a core group that is attempting to keep a Walmart from developing on the North Coast.
Why did you make that choice, Sarah?
To me, Walmart leads to the bottom of anything that's retail in a community. They are predatory. They don't want other businesses that would compete with them. They suck the life out of unique businesses, and that's their mantra. And they do it in a very advertised professional way. They have lots of lawyers. They have lots of PR people that know how to get to people's pocketbook, to their drive for lower prices, their words that tell people that you want to come and shop at Walmart. And you come and shop at Walmart, that means that you take all the money that goes into Walmart out of the area. And I don't like that.
One of the things you mentioned earlier is that Astoria has a singular character, a unique identity. It is a human-scale 50s-style downtown, and those are harder to find functional small downtowns that where you feel really comfortable and you can wander in and out of different stores, and it's not a mall with chain stores and everything's the same. And I think that is, people really want that. They want to also make human connections with the people who are the retailers of the different stores. So you're concerned that Astoria would lose that a lot of businesses which are here, which give it that character, that vibrancy, that color, the uniqueness would go away.
I'm concerned that not only Astoria would lose, Warrenton will lose, Seaside will lose, Long Beach will lose, Ilwaco will lose. The draw of a Walmart, which support says that it would pull somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000 cars a day into its parking lots, means that those people don't go somewhere else.
And I have heard from actually some respected economics experts in this region that Fred Meyer and Costco are excellent community partners, that they really give back to the community, and that will also hurt them, and that Walmart does not have that same commitment to community that Costco and Fred Meyer have. So I don't know about that. I'm not, you know, but I don't know if that's something that you all talk about in
that's
your group or not.
Very strongly thought of in the group that's trying to keep them out, that Costco and more so than Fred Meyer, but Costco pays very competitive wages. They are kind of worker-owned. People can buy into their own company. We haven't, you know, the group that I'm working with has not really opposed the bigger boxes. If you actually go out to Costco and you see a 7-lane turning lane to go there, and Warrenton has said that they're that's where the end of the bypass is going to be, which is a whole new concept for Astoria to start thinking about. But Walmart doesn't. They lowball wages. They don't provide medical care for very many of their employees. That whole system.
I think
can I give a website where people can go?
Oh, sure. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
If you at all are interested in what Walmart's do, we have a website. It's, you go to www.c-r-a-w.org. And it's information from many studies and what we are about.
Okay, and that's, Sarah, I think that a lot of times there's an idea of short-term gain for profit and then long-term, you know, sustainability for a community. And I feel like that's kind of what's happening. It's not that people who are opposed to Walmart, from my understanding, are against economic development. It's that what kind of economic development are you doing? Are you going to suck out the life and the character of the community, which is so vital and which brings these young people who are investing, as Chuck was saying here, and then we're going to be like every place else. And so you are involved in some pretty interesting things here in this community.
I got to stick in my note on Walmart. Their absolute ruthless push for the bottom low price on producing goods has shoved so many manufacturers to China that it's the only place can manufacture things cheap enough so they can sell it. That when you shop at Walmart, and not that other people don't buy Chinese goods, but they are the ones that have pushed the engine behind shoving all this manufacturing to China. So, you know, if you're shopping at Walmart, folks, you're supporting communist China. All the other stuff about their wages and policies are true, but that number one right there is they're just shoving your jobs. You buy at Walmart, you're shoving yours and your neighbor's job to China.
Well, I think you can see that from today, my guests have not retired. They are engaged, they're passionate, they're volunteers, and that's really important that you all care about this community, that you're still here, because people love you in this town. And so I thank you for being here and for all that you're doing. And on a note of volunteers, by the way, Fisher Poets Gathering needs some volunteers to sell Fisher Poets buttons. And if you are interested in that, please call the station after this program or anytime, and they will tell you you can get connected with that. Sarah Meyer, thank you so much.
Thank you. And Sarah's Old Photos is open on Wednesdays from 10 to 2. How about that for business hours?
Okay, that sounds great. Chuck, thanks so much for everything you're doing for the Astor Street Opry Company.
Love your program.
Excellent. All right. Kathleen Morgain, thank you so much for engineering the show today. And I want to thank all of you who listen. Also, Michael Bruin, our local talented banjo instructor, for his original theme music for the program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those good things, expand them, and then give yourself a loving hug or a compassionate, you know, pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.